I'm excited to share with you tonight's message from Matthew chapter 14. It's about walking on water. Amen? Matthew 14, 22 through 33. We're going to read the whole story there to refresh us. The wonderful, amazing miracle, but so much richness, so much to learn from in this passage. Immediately, and I love Matthew, it's always immediately. There's the imperative, something that happened that needs to happen right away. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. After dismissing the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already over a mile from land, battered by the waves because of the wind that was against them. Around 3 a.m, he came toward them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. Immediately, Jesus spoke to them, "Have courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter answered, "command me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. And climbing out of the boat, Peter started walking on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the strength of the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand, caught hold of him, and said to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those in the boat worshiped him and said, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Amen. My message tonight is titled, "Get Off the Boat." Maybe turn to your neighbor and say, "Get off the boat." Get off the boat. Maybe we're in a boat of sorts, and you're in a boat of sorts in your life. And the boat is in the middle of a storm. And people around you are afraid. And Jesus is calling to you tonight to make a step, to take steps. And the first step is to get off the boat. Get off the boat. I want to look at sort of the steps here that are taken by Peter and look at how these steps happen in our lives, and particularly in time of crisis. And the first thing I want us to look at is the call of Jesus. "Come," Jesus says, "vino," come. It's a simple command, come. It's a call to discipleship that Jesus is calling Peter to come. See, we often think of discipleship as an offer that we make to Christ. In fact, discipleship is an offer that Christ makes to us. He bids us to come. He's always bidding you to come. Come and follow me. Follow my lead, not yours. Come. Come. Come is a call out of something and into something new. He's calling Peter out of something. What is he calling Peter out of? He's calling Peter out of fear, out of a boat filled with people who are afraid. Come separates you from the fearful crowd. Come separates you from the people who are saying next year is going to be worse. Delta variant. Come separates you from people who are panicking. Come separates you from people who are indecisive. Come, Jesus says, even to you tonight. Come, come, follow me. Follow me. Get off the boat. Get off the boat of indecisiveness. Get off the boat of fear. Get off the boat where people are doing nothing but nagging and complaining and maybe throwing nets left and right to see what happens. Come is Jesus' call to us tonight. Come. And here, Peter makes the first step. I want us to look at the first step here a little bit. Take a moment to look at what is this first step that Peter makes. How many of us have taken first steps in life? You took the first step to get married, to go ask the girl out. You remember that? How tough it was? It was tough for all of us, guys. It was hard to go and ask a girl out. The first step to starting a business. How many of you have started a business and remember the first step that you took to start the business? It wasn't easy. You didn't have the financing, maybe. You needed the money. You needed the backing of maybe partners. And you had to make the first step. And maybe some of you mortgaged your house or sold your car, whatever you needed to do. You took that first step and it wasn't easy. Or you decided to go to school, to go to college, or you decided to write that book and that first page. I can tell you, I obviously write a lot for a living and I'm still scared of the first page. That first blank page that I have to write is always the scariest for me. What am I gonna write? How is it gonna be received? How am I gonna think about this? It's scary. The first of anything is scary. The first time you decided to follow Jesus, the first step. Some of you are getting ready for baptism and you're thinking, you know, I'm going to take that step. And some of you are afraid, maybe. Some people are afraid of taking that step. There's a first time for everything, and it's always uncertain. The first step. The first step that Peter takes, the first step that Peter takes out of the boat is the step of obedience. I want to ask you the question tonight. Where do you think faith begins? Where does faith begin that allows Peter to walk on water? It begins in answering the call. It begins in obedience to God's call. He says, come, and Peter goes. Come, and he takes a step. The first step is the step of obedience. Only he who believes is obedient. And only he who is obedient believes. Only he who believes is obedient, and only he who is obedient believes. You cannot divorce obedience from faith. You cannot have one without the other. You cannot say, I'm faithful, but I don't obey, or I obey, but I don't believe. Faith is not wishful thinking. Faith is not something that you conjure up and you imagine and you say some things and you say a formula and somehow it happens magically somehow. Faith is always an act of obedience. Faith is always answering the call of Jesus. I think we miss a lot of opportunities of faith in our lives because we don't obey the call, because we don't answer the call of Jesus. If he says go, we stay. If he says stay, we go. And yet he calls us to obedience. The first step is the step of obedience. Peter understands this. Let's give Peter some credit tonight. He understands what obedience is. It's taking a step into an impossible situation. God creates the impossible situation where everything is staked purely on a word of Jesus. Purely on God's word. When did you ever take a decision in your life that didn't make any sense financially, relationship-wise, but God said so, and you took a step of faith? Have any of you had these experiences in life? You had to make a step and it didn't make any sense to anybody and people were telling you you're crazy. Or what's going to happen? You had no idea of the outcome and it looked like an impossible situation. This is what God creates in our lives. Impossible situations where everything is staked on the word of God. What will happen to my family? What will happen to my business? What will happen to my children? Obey. The word of Jesus says, come, follow me. The other thing that happens is Peter has to leave the boat in order to learn about his own weaknesses, to learn about his own character, and also to learn about the character of God. We leave the boat, and God calls us to leave the boat in order that he reveals things about us that we need to work on. As long as you're in the boat, surrounded by people, and you feel like it's safe, and maybe by staying in the boat, you're going to be okay. You don't see your own weaknesses. You don't see your own character. You don't see character, you know, is tested under fire. Real character is not what you say you are and who you say you are, but what you do. And especially real character is tested under pressure. What do you do under pressure? What do you do when you're put against impossible situations? That's the test of character. And Jesus is pulling Peter out of the boat in order to test his character, to work on his character. If you feel like God is calling you out of the boat tonight, know this. It is to test your character. It is to reveal something about yourself that you didn't know. Maybe you didn't know that you had it in you. Maybe you didn't know what you do in impossible situations. And God creates impossible situations in your life so that He can fine-tune character and turn you into a real person, a real woman of character, a real man of character. He creates the situation where faith is possible. None of us want to go through hard times. We want to avoid pain. The default human condition is to avoid pain, avoid suffering at all costs, and be comfortable. We all want to be comfortable, and we don't want anybody to push us to the limits. We want to be comfortable even at church. We want to come to church and feel comfortable. We feel like everything that's done here is done for our utmost comfort. You know, the AC has to be at a particular temperature. The people that I sit next to have to be particular people. You know, I cannot sit next to somebody that makes me feel uncomfortable. So everything is being done. I mean, the food that's being cooked is being cooked for our comfort and our enjoyment. Everything in this life seems like it's being for us to be more and more comfortable, right? And easy and fast, you know, and fast access to fast information and easy. And we start worshiping Google and Alexa and Siri, you know. These are our butlers, if you will. Get me this, open the lights, you know, turn on the car. And everything is done and there's an effort being made for our comfort. But guess what? I'm about to bring some news to you tonight. The walking with Jesus, the come out of the boat, is a step into discomfort. And as a Christian, we are called to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. How about that? How about you deciding that you're going to start getting comfortable being uncomfortable at work? Maybe being uncomfortable in the church. That not everything here has to be done for your utmost comfort. That maybe you need to do something that gets you out of your comfort zone, that maybe you've been comfortable too long, that maybe you need to go and step into a call that God has called you, and that will make you uncomfortable. And it is uncomfortable, brothers and sisters. It's uncomfortable to serve all the time. Ask the people who are serving. They feel uncomfortable because you're scrutinized, maybe you don't do things good enough all the time. But God is calling us not to comfort, but he's calling us to obedience. Amen? The first step of obedience that Peter takes proves to be an act of faith. I know we have so many brothers and sisters that use this argument of, and they hide, I guess, under the guise of humble faith. They simply confess their unbelief and leave it at that. Like the father of the possessed young man in Mark 9:24, the boy that was tormented by a demon. And you remember what he says? I do believe, he says, but help me overcome my unbelief. And many of us treat it like that. We just say, God, I want to believe. I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. And we leave it at that, and we take no action. Jesus says, it doesn't matter whether you believe or no, don't believe, take the first step, get off the boat. Find yourself in the situation where faith is possible. If you're always going to try to be comfortable, if you're always going to seek the path of least resistance, you're never going to be in a situation where faith is possible. You're always going to be in a situation where it's all about you and what you know and how you know and, Lord, help my unbelief, and I want to believe, but God, you know, I'm just seeking you. I just want to know you. And you stay a baby Christian like that for many, many years. And you don't have experiences that shape your character in the walk with God because you refuse to get off the boat. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, says Paul in Romans 1:16-17, because it is God's power for salvation. It is God's righteousness is revealed, what? From faith to faith, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. From faith to faith. In credință, in credință. How do you walk from faith to faith? How can you walk from faith to faith if you can't even get uncomfortable, if you can't even get off the boat and you don't take a step of obedience? Jesus says, come. Do you want to live a life that walks from faith to faith? Get off the boat. Come. Take a step. The world says faith is something for which we have no evidence. The real Christian view is this. The evidence of faith is that Jesus said. Jesus said. It's the word of Jesus. How much emphasis do you put on the word of Jesus? How many times have you revisited the red letters? I heard that the youth is going into the red letter series, and I commend them for doing that. It's so important to go and visit the words of Jesus. No more powerful words have been spoken than the words of Jesus. Only the obedient believe. Matthew 14:15, if you love me, what will you do? You will obey my commandments. What he's calling you is to relationship. It is relational. It isn't just obey like some sort of despot or some sort of decree or some sort of king or some sort of, you know, president up in the White House that doesn't care about you and your personal life. He just kind of just issues a decree, right? No. He doesn't say obey without relationship, without relational. It's love. If you love me, you obey. If you love me, you come off the boat. If you love me, you make the first step. So Peter gets off the boat, and the first step is the step of obedience, but nothing has changed. The storm is still going on. You guys realize that by Peter getting off the boat, it didn't stop the storm. The storm rages on. It's still pummeling them. And then Peter does something else. He takes another step. He takes a step and he looks back at the storm. And you know what the Bible says that he sees? He said he saw the wind. Have any of you seen the wind? Nobody seen the wind here? Nobody seen the Santa Ana winds? You've seen the effects of the wind. You've seen the results of the wind. You haven't seen the wind. He looks and he sees the wind. The Bible is, even from the very beginning of the passage, we can see that there's an attack on discernment. The first thing they see is a ghost. So in the middle of the storm, in the middle of fear, the first thing that's being attacked is your discernment. Oh, the devil loves to attack your discernment, to not know what's going on, to be confused about the world, to be confused about the word of God. Lord, give us discernment in the middle of the wind, in the middle. You see the wind, and look, Peter is looking at the wind, and he's seeing all sorts of things coming out of the wind, and he's looking, and the wind appears to be even bigger than it is. How many of you have been in a situation where you were really afraid, and things seemed bigger than they were? An ant in fear can turn into an elephant. A storm can turn into a typhoon. A little bit of rain can turn into a tornado. During fear can make things bigger. Fear makes your trouble bigger. He sees the wind. Now, whenever I heard this word being preached in the past, I've always heard it this way. And I've even spoken about this in the past this way. That Peter took his eyes off Jesus, and that's when he started to sink. But the Bible doesn't say that Peter took his eyes off Jesus. Scripture doesn't tell us that. What it tells us is that he started being afraid. He started to be afraid of what was going on. You know, there are very well-meaning brothers and sisters who tell us, keep your eyes on Jesus, brother. Keep your eyes on Jesus, sister. Don't take your eyes off Jesus. Just keep your eyes on him. Don't worry about what's going on around you. But my marriage is falling apart. Keep your eyes on Jesus. But I'm about to lose my house. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Don't keep your eyes on Jesus. How many times have you heard these brothers and sisters that keep telling you, just keep your eyes on the Lord. Just see Jesus. Forget about what's going on. My kids are leaving me. No one's talking to me. I'm losing my job. I'm losing my health. But keep your eyes on Jesus. And you're like, how in the world am I going to keep my eyes on Jesus in the middle of this storm? And can I not look as if somehow you're, as a Christian, you're supposed to be like an ostrich, put your head in the ground, just make sure that just have Jesus in your mind, nothing else, forget about everything that's going on around you. What we need are Christians who are aware of what is happening around them, and yet they're not afraid. Aware of what's going on in the world, but not afraid. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're put in staring at the fire. And the king is saying, make it 7 times hotter. Are they aware of the situation? Yes, they're very aware. They know exactly what's going on. But guess what? They're saying, we won't be afraid. God wants you to know what's going on. God doesn't want you to be an ostrich and put your head in the sand and forget about everything and just keep your eyes on Jesus. Yes, keep your eyes on Jesus, but know what's going on around you. Know that you're about to lose your family. Know that you need to save your kids. Know that you need to take care of your business. Know that you need to do what's right. Know that you need to do what's right in the church. Yes. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on the prize. But as we say, but have discernment. Fear attacks discernment. Fear makes things look weird. Like it makes things look like ghosts. It makes, what is fear? False evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real. That's fear. That's fear. Fear is looking at a situation, and through the lens of fear, that situation looks impossible. And we all want to be brave, right? We value people who are brave, and this is a good attribute to have. We want to be more brave and heroes, and we live in a world that glorifies heroes and heroicism. But through not human means, you know, through people that conquer fear through some hocus pocus, You know, Marvel makes sure of that every year, that you need to know, that you need to have some sort of special ability, some sort of special power to be able to overcome. But this is what being brave is. It's not that you don't feel afraid, but that through the power of Jesus Christ, you can overcome fear. That's bravery. It's not that you don't feel afraid. It's not that you don't see the storm. It's not that you don't are not affected by it. The Christian isn't going like a duck through water. You are affected by what's going on in the world. You're affected by the situation that you're having in your family. But you're not subject to that fear. You know, people go to far greater lengths to avoid what they fear than to obtain what they desire. What if you, instead of running away from your fears, you ran towards them? What if you run in the direction of your fear? What did Christ do? Was Christ dreading the cross? Remember the prayer in Gethsemane? Lord, if it be your will, take this cup away from me. That was a human moment for Christ, like what you are doing in your life. Lord, if it be your will, take this away from me. Take this cup away from me. And it's the human desire to run away from fear, to run away from the things that you're afraid of. What are you afraid of? Think about it. What are you afraid of? What scares you? I challenge you tonight, this week, this coming week, do one thing that scares you. Now, I'm not talking about going skydiving or, you know, going get lost in a big hike in the woods, but maybe approaching somebody scares you. You know, maybe asking forgiveness scares you. Maybe making things right, telling the truth scares you. Maybe doing something out of the ordinary for your neighbor scares you because you think, oh, they'll reject me or they think I'm weird. God is not asking us to take unnecessary, dangerous risks. But he's asking us to step off the boat in an act of obedience, to step over our fear and to run in the direction of it. There is no fear in love, but perfect love. Perfect love casts out fear. 1 John 4:18. If the first step is the step of obedience, the second step that Peter takes is a step outside of love, outside of obedience and into fear. He gives into fear. And know that even if you do have your eyes on Jesus, even if you see Jesus there, that's the paradox. That Jesus is there and the storm is going on and still you are afraid. Jesus is in your life, he's in control of the situation. You have given your life to Jesus and still you are afraid. And that's real, Christians. That's real. That's a real experience that we have. So next time somebody comes and tells you, well, you shouldn't be afraid. Somehow it's wrong. No, it's human to be afraid. But it's also godly to conquer fear. To conquer it. Not by your own hand and not by your own strength. What is the third step that happens? Well, he begins to sink. And the first thing that he cries out, what does he say? Lord, save me. Lord, save me. The third step is not a step that you make. It's not a step that Peter makes. It's a step that Jesus makes. Jesus steps forward. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you, says James 4:8. He was too far from the boat to go back. And he was not close enough to Jesus to reach out to him. He was somewhere in the middle. And sometimes life has us somewhere in the middle between a rock and a hard place. You're too far from the boat. You've stepped off the boat. Now you're too far from the boat, but you're not close enough to Jesus. You're somewhere in the middle. And the only thing you can do is cry out and say, Lord, save me. He was in the middle. And all he could do is just look up and say, Jesus, help me. He didn't have time to say a prayer, Heavenly Father, who brought me out of the boat and who put me in this storm, and Lord, have mercy on the waves, the wind, everything around me. Lord Jesus, have a real Pentecostal prayer. He didn't have time. He just had time to say, Lord, save me. Brothers and sisters, sometimes that's enough. Sometimes Lord, save me is all you need to say. Lord, save me. Lord, help me. He didn't have time for a long prayer. He didn't have time for an hour long or 2 hour long intercession. But that Lord, save me is intercession enough. Some of you have been in bathroom stalls and you've said, Lord, help me. Some of you have been driving and you said, Lord, help me. Some of you have been walking on the road and you said, Lord, help me. And guess what? Jesus heard you and he's hearing those prayers, those calls for help. He knows what you need even before you even ask him. What I love about Jesus is that you don't need to tell him the details of your circumstances. You don't need to come to Jesus and unpack everything. He knows what you need. He knows. And sometimes all you need to say is, Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. The journey with Peter starts out with Jesus calling out to him, come, right? We said that Jesus came and said, come. And it ends with Peter crying out to Jesus, Lord, save me. Every journey with Jesus ends that way. I want to tell you something. It's come. And at one point between the come and the miracle, there will be a point where you will say, Jesus, save me. Jesus, help me. It's a moment of complete surrender and sinking and being only at the mercy of Jesus. It starts with come. And it's, Lord, help me, is the climax of it. And Jesus, I love what the Bible says here in very, very vivid terms. Jesus, what did Jesus do? He stretched out his hand. Your hand might not reach him, but his hand has the ability to reach you wherever you are in your situation. You may be too far. He's not far. You may be sinking. He can grab you right from the bottom. He can reach you where you are. And then the beautiful thing is that Jesus reaches him and his hand is long enough to reach him. And there's no distance too far that he cannot reach you. There's no far place that you can go where he cannot reach you. Is that they walk back to the boat together. As long as I'm with Jesus, he will somehow make a way. How about your prayer tonight? Our prayer as a congregation can be, Jesus, pick us up where we are and help us walk together in the storm. Whatever storm you're going through in your life right now. Now, we talked about, the boat and leaving the boat and the people that are afraid. But Peter is coming back with Jesus to the boat to be a testimony for the people on the boat. It isn't just that you leave everybody because you're better than everybody and you're going to have your own experience with the miracles of Jesus and everybody else can be afraid and screaming ghosts on the boat. No, you have to come back on the boat and be a testimony to the people on the boat, so that they can say that you are the Son of God. You truly are Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. What a testimony. You would have never been able to have that testimony if Jesus wouldn't have taken you into the storm. You would have never been able to have that miracle experience if you didn't go through the pain of being uncomfortable, of being tossed by the wind, of sinking, of going deep into the water, of having Jesus come and stretch out. You would have never had that. We want to run away from those experiences because they're very unpleasant. But brothers and sisters, that's where Jesus is calling us. Get off the boat. Maybe we're too comfortable. Yes, you speak about comfort, Brother Dan, in the middle of coronavirus, in the middle of all this, you know, global uncertainty and, you know, conflicts. And maybe you said, you know, I spent the entire year being uncomfortable. And yeah, I'm still in the storm and I don't know what to do. And I'm somewhere in between. I'm not close enough to Jesus so I can reach him. And I went far away from the boat and I certainly don't want to go back there. I can't even go back there anymore. You're somewhere in the middle. Jesus says, I've come for people in the middle. Those that are between a rock and a hard place. I'm going to reach out my hand and reach out to you. If you can't come to me, I will come to you. This is the invitation I'm making you. A life of discipleship, a life of obedience. Come, follow me. What is God saying in your life? This is the question that matters. This is the question that you have to leave this tonight with this question. At least asking yourself this question. What is God telling me to do? What is God telling you personally in your life? This week, tonight, when you leave, what is the Lord telling you to do? Think about it. I hope that you make a step, and the step is a step of obedience, the first step, which creates a situation where faith can be possible. And faith can be possible. It can be possible in the church. It can be possible in your family. It can be possible in your life. Let's stand tonight. As we close in prayer, I just would like us to think about that situation, that maybe the boat that you're on, I don't know what boat you're on and what it is that it's tossing you in the waves, but whatever boat that it is you're on, you feel like it's comfortable, you feel like it's okay, it's rocking back and forth, Jesus is asking you to take a step of faith. And the first step is a step of obedience. Come, follow me. Don't delay. Don't put it off. Follow me. And know that it will be uncomfortable, but keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And don't give in to fear. You left the boat so that you will no longer be surrounded by people with fear. The Lord got you out of the boat, but he still needs to get fear out of you. He took Peter out of the storm, but he still needed to take the storm out of Peter. There's a storm maybe in your life that's not letting you sleep, that's keeping you awake. There's a storm that's brewing every day when you wake up and you... Maybe the storm is you're busy at work and all things are coming at you at 100 miles an hour. You don't know what to do. Give it to Jesus tonight. He will reach out to you and give you strength. I think we all need the strength, no? I think it isn't just me that needs it. I think all of us here need this strength. And let's pray tonight. Lord, give us this strength. As you go before Jesus, just talk to him. He wants relationship. He doesn't want just blind obedience. It is within your choice to make. And maybe he's waiting for you to make that choice. Help us, God, to make the right choice and to make the first step.